From November 4, 2008 to November 8, 2016, New Yorkers experienced a vast slide in mood. For 8 years, Brian Lehr presided as New Yorkers danced, argued, and ultimately cried. As part of our series, The Obama Years, The View from New York, WNYC's Andrea Bernstein speaks to Brian about how our sense of community shifted, beginning on the night Obama first won the presidency, when both of them were on the air.
Out of many, we are one. That while we breathe, we hope. And where we are met with cynicism and doubt, and those who tell us that we can't, we will respond with that timeless creed that sums up the spirit of a people. Yes, we can. Thank you. God bless you. And may God bless the United States of America.
On election night of 2008, many New Yorkers were dancing in the streets. Seriously. So Brian Lehr did what Brian does. Open the phones.
Our lines are already full. Andrea Bernstein, I can hardly believe that there's an audience out there at this hour, but of course, this is not any night.
Hey, we're here in the Bronx. Obama, Obama, Obama.
In the early morning after the 2016 election, Brian opened the phones again.
Eve, you're on WNYC. Thank you for calling us so early in the day.
I told my students that when they wake up tomorrow, they're going to see a female president. And I'm walking into my class today, feeling so distraught. The tears have not stopped.
My kids are still sleeping. My wife has been crying all night long. I am looking for some advisor to tell me what to tell my kids.
Oh, boy.
Between those two polls lies a whole sphere of emotion, filtered these past 8 years by Brian Lehr behind the red microphone in Control Room 2, where I'm sitting now. Through the fight over the Affordable Care Act, climate change, the rise of the Tea Party, Storm Sandy, the gay marriage decision, and, of course, the election of 2016. Joining me now, behind the blue mic, on the other side of the table, is Brian Lehr. So let's start with 2008. We were here in this room. What do you remember it feeling like?
Andrew, that was one of the most memorable days I've ever had on the air, and that probably produced the single most euphoric block of calls we've gotten from listeners. And I think it was caused by a few things, really. Certainly that we elected our first black president gave so many Americans goosebumps, including so many white Americans and even a lot of John McCain voters, honestly. Just the fact that history could move from the worst old days to that. But also at that moment, because there would be no more George W. Bush. It's easy to forget with how horrified most of our area is today about Trump, just how reviled Bush and Dick Cheney were for their combined legacy of the Iraq War and the financial crisis and things. And it was like, ding dong, the witch is dead, politically speaking. And for that combination of reasons, boy, you could feel the ecstasy on the phones.
I took a cab from Midtown Manhattan back to Queens, and the entire way back it was people screaming and, you know, having a good time, honking their horns, you know, like a guy, you know, jumped out in front of my cab and was like, Obama!
Turning down Broadway, a skateboarder appeared in front of us, and check this image. It was a young man on a skateboard with a huge American flag riding down Broadway.
Yeah, I mean, when I listen to the tape from 2008, one of the things I think is, boy, we had no idea what was coming. Even between then and 2012, there was such a sense of kind of the beginning of the tearing down of political civility, which we saw obviously at its height in this campaign. But, you know, the rise of the Tea Party, the fight over Obamacare, of course, the dark money that was unleashed by Citizens United and all those negative ads, there was a sense of we are no longer talking to each other. And I'm wondering, for you sitting behind this microphone, if you had a sense of presiding over the fraying of a common culture.
Definitely. And over time, support for Obama among the callers who supported him became more sober and sometimes ambivalent, because they saw him as under constant attack by a completely rejectionist Republican Party on the one hand. So Hope and Change, capital H, capital C, became try to fight for what scraps you could get. And ambivalent because of things like drone strikes and sometimes seeming to fight without enough vigor. And so by the time he was reelected in 2012, We got callers the next day who voted for Obama but sounded like this. Remember what it sounded like in 2008? It sounded like this in 2012.
The moneyed interest did not win. There was so much money, corporate money, poured into defeating Obama and many other Democrats.
The jubilation that Obama supporters like myself, or some like myself, may feel today, I think it's going to be counterproductive if we fail to learn a lesson of 2008, and that is to just go back to sleep after the election.
In thinking about that tape from 2012, one of the things that I feel like was a lesson for Obama supporters was that the out of many one center was going to hold, and that there still was a body politic, a place where these discussions could be had. And I think that's one of the problems that you and I, and I mean certainly a lot of other people, but us in our conversations when we were talking about Trump in the early part of his candidacy, he seemed so outside of the political sphere that it was hard for us to imagine that he could be successful. And I'm wondering if that is sort of part of Obama's tangled legacy, that he created a sense that politics existed in a particular place on a particular trajectory, and it was hard to process the Trump candidacy because Obama had us thinking in a certain direction.
And when we've taken calls, the thing that comes up over and over again, which I think goes to your point, is his character. And yet we learn from this year's election the limits of character and the language of unity as a motivating force in politics, given what we know about Trump's behavior and yet the fervor of his supporters, despite so many things.
Being in the position that you are, a convener of conversations, a place where all kinds of people call and speak to you, where do you see yourself going from here, given the fact that even the very basic sense that there's a common place in which we talk has been frayed? What does that mean for you?
There has to be a common place in which we can talk. And for me on my show, we're still dedicated to being one of those places.
WNYC's Brian Lehrer and Andrea Bernstein. For more on our series, The Obama Years, The View from New York, go to WNYC.org. Tomorrow in Morning Edition, Ilya Meritz looks at how Obama's efforts to save Wall Street stabilized the New York economy, but at a cost.